My God, my Lord, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for the season. And again, we're such thankful, God, for the word that you have to give to us today. Put it in our hearts. May we meditate upon it. May we get something out of it, God, that will show us how we are to be and what we are to do for this world. And I thank you that by the great power of the Almighty God and the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells within us, will cause our ears to prick up, our eyes to be open, Lord, and our hearts to be stirred up to do and to be and to see and to act accordingly to what the word instructs us to do. And in the name of Jesus, we have the victory over all adversaries. We have the victory over all circumstances and situations. And by your word, Lord, we are victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Ezekiel chapter 3. Starting at verse 17, and it reads, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. But I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if I warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him, and he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel chapter 22, starting at verses 23. And this is what the prophecy of God, the prophecy of the Lord that he gave to Ezekiel again. He said that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed and rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasures and precious things, and they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. And the people of the land have used oppression and have exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. In verse 30, it says this, just to bring out what I want to put into place. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, said the Lord God. I want to talk today in reference to the ministry of intercession, or the importance of the intercessor. As I was saying earlier, there are many people that want to do great and grand things. They want to do great and grand things for God. Many people want to be well known. They want to preach. They want to be seen. And they want to do things that wherein people can look at them and say, surely there's a great man or woman of God. But like Paul said, that there are greater things to grab hold of than just to be seen, either in preaching or even healing the sick or laying hand on people, causing great miracles to take place. And that ministry is, or the importance is, to be an intercessor. God told Ezekiel that he looked for a man, number one, that will stand in the gap for his people, Israel, in this particular case. As well, he said that there, I call you, Ezekiel, to be a watchman, a man that will look at the sins of the nations, that will look at people and see all that they go through and be a watchman to them to warn them of the sin that they were involved in, so that the wicked man will turn and repent of his ways, and the righteous man will not stray away or backslide from what he, where he is going. And he said that I look for a man to stand in the gap, which means that God is looking for a people. He's looking for a church that will intercede for the sins of people and sins of nations and sins of our families, the sins of our brothers and our sisters, and have great concern for those people. And in fact, to show you how important that it is, surely a man can go out and he can preach to all kinds of people worldwide, but it is the intercessor that makes a connection with God that can change the hearts of people or abate the wrath of God that will come upon people. See, preaching doesn't necessarily stop the move of God's wrath. In essence, it really sets in place so that God's wrath can come upon people, because now that you've been told what's right and what's wrong, God has the power, he has the authority to say, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. I want you to know that wrath will come one day. And according to where our hearts are, God will come in and either bring wrath or he'll bring a blessing upon his people. But the intercessor, in that he knows that the wrath of God is going to come one day, he's able to talk to God, and he's able to perhaps convince God that these people are worth at least giving a little bit more time so that you do not consume them. And so it is very, very important for an intercessor to be in place. Are there many intercessors? I don't know. I just know this. There are few people that would prefer to intercede and pray to God and talk to God about saving somebody or delivering someone from wrath, as opposed to the one that would prefer to stand up before other people and preach what thus says the Lord. Because one perhaps is done between them and God, maybe in their prayer closet or maybe at the altar, wherein the other is standing before people and he's expounding the word of God. Now, don't get me wrong. One is important just like the other is, but there is some kind of connection when you can say to yourself, I will intercede for the people of God. I will intercede for the wicked. And you know how it is with the wicked people. Nobody really care whether they live or die. But God said, I do care about them, and I want them, number one, to be warned. And as well, if you as an individual will talk to me, maybe we can work out some situation wherein I don't bring down the axe just like that. Now, what is intercession? Intercession is actually a prayer or prayers offered on behalf of other people. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we are praying just for wicked people. Sometimes we can just know that somebody is going through something and they just need somebody to pray for them, because maybe they don't have the strength, maybe they don't have the willpower or the means in their minds to pray to God for themselves, but they need somebody lifting them up. Because we all do go through stresses and we go through strains, and sometimes it's so hard on me that, God, I just don't feel like talking to you today. I'm not saying I shouldn't be in the position where as I'll talk to God, because God, his ears are always open to us, but sometimes people just don't have the strength. I've heard of some people that get so depressed or they go through so many trials in life that they just, in a sense, kind of give up. God, I don't feel like praying. God, I don't feel like getting up off of my bed of affliction, perhaps. God, I don't feel like going down to do what I need to do to take care of my financial situation. It's because the enemy is trying to drain us. He's trying to pull us away. But in that day that we find ourselves in that position, like Job, in a sense, he interceded for his children, because he said that They aren't wicked, but I just don't know what it is that they may do that will curse God. Which tells me something. Of all the people in this world that ought to be interceding, it ought to be us parents interceding for our children. It ought to be us people in the church that's interceding for a wicked nation. We know that people are going down the wrong road, and they need somebody standing in the gap for them. They need somebody that will pray for them and help them to make it at least from one point to another, and perhaps they will have the strength to call upon God. So intercession is really a prayer offered on behalf of other people, whether they are in the wrong or whether they're in the right. Sometimes people just need somebody that is holy enough, that is righteous enough to stand in the gap for them or intercede for them. And so I coin intercession as one of the most important ministries that anybody really can have. And in fact, God is always looking for someone that will stand in the gap or that will intercede for other people. If you would, please turn with me to the book of, well, let me say this first. Some people are naturally intercessors. In other words, they have a concern for people. They have a concern. They want something good happening on behalf of other folk. And they're not as concerned about their own lives as they are other people. And they are naturally built that way. Just like we all are naturally have some kind of things in us that make us one way as opposed to another. For me, it might be easy for me to overcome certain things in life because I'm naturally built to overcome those things. But then there are some people that aren't naturally built such a way that they have to press and they have to push themselves to be something. It's kind of like a basketball player. Some are naturally tall, and therefore maybe they have an ability to be able to play ball because they have that natural ability. There are some people that are short that can play better than the tall person, and they've been naturally built that way, but they still, each one of us, have some kind of hindrances. And my point is that whether you are naturally made to intercede for people or whether you have to push yourself, we need to all come to the point wherein we will intercede for this nation, intercede for people, intercede for churches, and intercede for a lot of different things that's going on in this world. Over in the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel, see, it talked about how it was. And let me just read this little part here. It says that in verse 23, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, say unto her, talking about Israel, thou art a land that is not cleansed, is not rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets. Verse 26 says, her priests have violated my law. They have profaned the holy thing. They have put no differences between the holy and the profane. Verse 27, it says that her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to get dishonest gain. And then it says that even her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them. And therefore, you see that even there are people in the church that are tearing the church apart, and there are some prophets. And we can look at even today, there are some men, so-called men of God, prophets of God, that are out preaching for their own gain and not for the good of the people. They're out to make all of the money. They're out to lead people down the wrong road. And God is saying to Israel, these are the kind of people that are in the church. These are the kind of people that are in Israel. But we need an intercessor. Now, I do want to direct your attention over to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Because we can see the type of people that have interceded. And there's something unique about them. First of all, I want to say this while you're turning there. There are certain groups that we are to intercede for. First of all, we are to intercede for the wicked, as Ezekiel chapter 3 talked about. We are to intercede for our own family, just like Job did. He didn't know what his sons and his daughters were doing, but certainly it was laid upon his heart to intercede for them because he wanted their safety to be an issue with him. We are to intercede for cities. There are some cities that are worse than other cities. We think about Las Vegas, and they call it Sin City. We think about San Francisco, and they have all kind of immorality going on in those cities. Well, one of the reasons why these cities are like this is because they don't have intercessors in those places interceding for those cities. And the people come in by the droves, and they will do wicked things. But God said that if there is one man or one woman, perhaps like Ezekiel, that will stand in the gap for these people and be a hedge for them, perhaps God could turn that city around. Perhaps God could even abate the wrath that may come upon those cities. And so we should be praying for the city. There are nations that we can intercede for. Certainly, by living in America, we ought to be interceding for America, but then we can intercede for the continents of Africa and countries in Africa. And we can intercede for countries over in like Iraq and Iran. Certainly, we might not turn that whole country around, but there may be some people that will grab hold to the gospel and repent of their sins and turn around and be saved. So it is so important that we become or be intercessors. And of course, as Jesus talked about in the 17th chapter of St. John, we really should be interceding for the whole world. And you can break it down that way. We can pray for we can intercede for our family. We can intercede for one another. We can intercede for cities. We can intercede for the nations, and we can intercede for the whole world. And it is an important position that we are to have. But looking at Numbers chapter 14, I want to read this to show you how it is that God had a man that will intercede. And it says that starting at verse 1, it says that, and all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses. They murmured against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would God have it that we would die in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? So here you have a situation where it's Israel. God has brought them out of Egypt, and now they're going through the wilderness, but yet they began to complain and murmur against Moses and against Aaron. If you would please drop over to verse 5, and it says this. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation and of the children of Israel. Verse 6 says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. In other words, here it is, four men that fell down because the children of Israel were evil and they were rebellious in their heart. In fact, God called them a stiff-necked people. Here were four great men that fell down and began to intercede for Israel, to show you how important intercession is. And it says that, and they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But this is what the congregation decided to do to Joshua and Caleb. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. You see, when people are wicked or when people are evil, they are quick not only to give up on God, but they are quick to stone the person that will stand in the position of intercession. Which means this, that sometimes, even as an intercessor, we have to not look at our own lives, but we have to look at the lives of the people that we are interceding for. Moses, in fact, this was not the only time that he stood before the children of Israel to intercede for them, and he went to God to intercede for them. They tore their clothes as a way to say, man, I am disgusted at you. And God, if you would please have mercy upon these people because they don't know what they're doing. And then this is what Moses did. This is what God said in verse 11. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be that they will believe me? They will believe me for all the signs which I have shown amongst them. I'm going to smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of them a greater nation and a mightier than they. But then to show you how it is and how important it is for us to intercede for people, Moses himself stood up and said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians are going to hear it. For thou brought up this people in my might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they will hear that the Lord are among his people and that the Lord are seen face to face and that thy cloud standeth over them. And verse 15 says this, now if thou shalt kill this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee shall speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land, which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now Moses is saying, I beseech you, God, I beg you, God, let the power of the Lord be great according as thou hast spoken. I'm going to skip to verse 19. It says this, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even unto now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, Moses. Goes to show how important it is for us to intercede for people. Now, let me say this to you in reference to intercession. Intercession is for the man or the woman that, again, will not look at his own particular needs, but he is willing to even lay down his life for a people that he can have some compassion for people that are ignorant, for people that will do silly things, for people that will do evil things, at least to plead, to ask God to hold off and give them another chance. And if you know, like I know, you know this world needs another chance. We know that there are people that we contend with, and that these people that we contend with are against God, and they don't even care about us, because it says that these people were willing to stone Joshua. They were willing to stone Caleb. They're always willing to stone Aaron and Moses and so forth. And because these guys are interceding, we put ourselves in positions as such that even though it is an important job, it is still a stressful and perhaps an even dangerous job. But nevertheless, the people need it. And so these guys, they ask God to hold back his wrath. And here's the amazing thing about it. For a person that will put himself between that which is evil and that which is good, God many times will listen to that person, because he's not so much looking at the sins of the people, but he's looking at the person that will take the time to intercede, which again makes it the most, or one of the most important positions that we can have. Not to preach to them, not to lay hands on the sick and cause them to recover, not to do spectacular wonders and miracles in the land, but to intercede and stand in the gap for people that know not how to conduct themselves. It becomes so important that the lives of millions of people lay in the hand of one, or in this case here, four people. And more particularly, one man, because I want to show you something else about how Moses was. Exodus chapter 32. And this was Moses before God. And the children of Israel were the same kind of way. They were not satisfied with anything that they got. They were not satisfied with the food that God gave them. They were not satisfied with being brought out of Egypt, simply because they went through a little tough time in their mind. But yet, here it is. Numbers chapter 14. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 32. I think that's what I said, right? Exodus 32, verse 17, it says this. And the Lord said unto Moses, get down from here with thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt. God said, Moses, you brought them out now, have corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereon and said, these be our gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, they're stiff-necked, they're stubborn, they don't want to listen to anybody. And now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee, Moses, a great nation. God saying, listen, Moses, get out of my way, man. I've had enough of these people. I've had it up to here with their crying and their murmuring and their stiff-neckedness. I tell them to go to the left and they go to the right. I tell them to stop. They want to go. I tell them to do one thing. They want to do the other. I've had it up to here, Moses, and I'm going to wipe them all out, and I'm going to start with you, Moses. Now, let me say this to you. God could easily have started a whole new nation with Moses because he did it anyway with the man Adam. And when he did it with Adam, made of Adam a whole population on the earth as we see it today, he could have easily done it with Moses. He doesn't need the traditional ways of reproducing. He could have scooped up millions of other people, and he was letting Moses know, listen, I'm sick of these people, and I'm going to wipe them out, man. But in the 11th verse, it says this, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, God, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt? It's amazing to me that Moses, in a way, began to learn how to talk to God. One thing I understand about what Moses was doing, Moses began to cause God to remember what he had said. He caused him to remember that I'm going to bring them out of the land of Egypt and put them in a land flowing with milk and honey. And therefore, it teaches me as an intercessor, or a person that will intercede for the people, God, I want to remind you of what it is that you said. I'm not standing here by my own power, but God, I'm standing here because you said to me to be compassionate for the people. You've said to me to do what's right before the people. And therefore, God, I'm reminding you, and if you wipe these people out, God, you're not going to have them to go into the land. In fact, the nations of Egypt and all of the inhabitants around the land are going to talk about how it is that God brought them out of Egypt just to kill them in the wilderness. And so as an intercessor, I have to remember that, God, you said that you were going to make of Abraham many nations. A seed, out of his seed, you're going to bring forth many nations. Well, God, if you kill all these people that deserve to be killed, that won't happen. And so we have to be wise, in a sense, in talking to God or interceding to God. But at the same time, we have to know that God will only put up with so much, even from me, the intercessor. There comes a time that I have to know what my limit is with God. And then in the verse 13, he said this. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swear thine own self, and said unto him, I will multiply your seed of the stars of the heaven. In verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto this people. I know we know that God is all good, and he's all merciful, and he's all kind, but there's a side of God that you and I don't want to be on. There's a side of God that we don't want people to be on. The Bible says here that the evil that he thought to do, and the evil is he was going to let plagues and he was going to consume them. He was going to allow earthquakes and things of that nature take over these people because they were messing it up. The last example I want to give to you is, and you don't necessarily have to turn here, it's in Genesis chapter 18. And this is the story wherein there was one man, great man, as I see him, named Abraham. And Abraham saw the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, there were people that were living an uncomely lifestyle. There were people that were not supposed to have been living man with man, women with women, and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, we have it going on today. But the thing about it is that there was one man in the city called Lot who belonged to Abraham. It was his nephew. That Abraham was most concerned about. But when it came down to it, Abraham, who was not really connected to Sodom and Gomorrah, he still did not want to see God wipe out a whole city. Didn't matter whether the people were good or evil, just the thought of the fact that thousands, perhaps millions of people are going to die, this man, Abraham, began to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah. And he began to play, as I kind of call it, not play games with God, but he began to test God to see how far it is. See, remember what I said when I said we have to be careful as to how far we will go with God. And he asked God, he said, God, if there are 50 righteous people in this city, would you at least hold off if we can find 50 righteous one in this city? God said, okay, I'll do it. He realized that there were not 50. He said, how about 45? How about 30, God? How about 20, God? If there be 10 people in the city that are righteous, God, would you hold off from destroying the whole city? It goes to show how it was that the man Abraham was an intercessor, and he was concerned about the righteous, but even more so, he was concerned that there were going to be thousands of people wiped out of the land, because he knew that God had a compassionate heart on those that are righteous. He knew that God had a compassionate heart toward those that we will intercede for and that we will pray for. And he was willing to do it even down to 10 people. But here's the thing that God understood, and really Abraham understood as well. He knew there wasn't even one righteous person in that city that he could hold back the hand of God. He was trying to either buy time, or he was trying to see how far he could go with God. And I believe this much about God. Even if he had said, well, God, listen, I realize that there's nobody in the city that is righteous, but at least would you just have a little mercy and give them a little bit more time? I believe God would have responded and said, okay, because you are interceding and because you are asking me, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. But see, Moses stopped at 10. And if there's 9 left, the city is gone. You see, God will allow us to talk to him. He will allow us to bargain with him. He will allow us, especially for other people, he will allow us to commission him to hold back the wrath that will come upon people. And we have to remember that as an intercessor, you and I have power to move the hand of God so that he might say, no, I'm going to take care of that, or he won't. Sometimes it's left up to you and I to intercede for the people, and not the man that will preach, not the man that will bring down fire and brimstone upon people, not the man that will preach prosperity, not the man that will preach about healing, not the man that will preach about how we're to live in this life, but it all boils down sometimes to the man that will stand in the gap for the people so that God's hand will not move down upon the people. It may be that this world hasn't been destroyed. It may be that America has not fallen down on his knees because there is somebody out there that's interceding. And we don't even know who they are. It may be some young lady, some old lady, some young man or some old man that's taking the time to say, God, if you will just hold off one more day, maybe these people will turn around and come back to you and worship and follow after you. Yeah. We never know. Because see, that person, we don't know about them. They don't have a microphone. They aren't standing before millions of people on TV. They're not out preaching the word, and we see them and we say, oh yeah, I love that person. That is a great speaker. What about a great intercessor? Because it's the intercessor, I believe, that's getting us through a lot of this stuff that we are coming up against. And so God did respond to Abraham. He responded three people, or at least three people that I can think of right off the top of the bat, that were great intercessors, and there was something unique about them. Number one, there was Job, who interceded for his children. Secondly, there was Abraham that interceded for the righteous that would have been, in this case, maybe Lot, that would have been in Sodom and Gomorrah. And thirdly, Moses, along with his others that were with him, Joshua, Caleb, and Aaron, that interceded. But here's the unique thing about those guys. Each one, if you say you want to be a leader, that's what a leader has to do. He has to have compassion for the people that are following after them. That's why it just wasn't left up to Moses to intercede for the people. But Joshua and Caleb understood that, listen, we're in a position too where people look up to us, and we have to intercede for them too. So I say to you, this to you, if you say that you are a leader, or if you want to be a leader, one of the main things that we have to do is be willing to bow down and to pray for the people that are around us that ain't taking the time to pray for themselves. And I go farther to say this. They are going to be the people that don't like you, will stone you, will curse you, will kill you, but you still have to have the heart to intercede for them anyway, because God wants a person that will intercede regardless as to how they are being treated, regardless of how they are being misused. He just wants somebody that will pray for the people and intercede for those. In some cases, don't know how to intercede for themselves. Remember, some of them lose strength. Some of them can't even talk. Children. Now, here's the purpose of intercession. First of all, it is to heal people. It is to cause people to be girded up and say, and when I speak of healing more so, I'm talking about spiritual healing. We're sick with sin, but we need healing. We've fallen down and we can't get up, and we need somebody that will pray for us to turn us around so that we will walk the straight and narrow path. Secondly, is to avert or abate judgment that will come upon a country or a city or a neighborhood or even a household. Sometimes when we can intercede for them, sometimes God will hold back the hand, as he did with the children of Israel. And sometimes he maybe won't hold back his hand. He just give you and I an opportunity to get the ones that want to halfway get it right to get out of there before he comes down with the judgment, like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. He was concerned about every righteous individual in that city, and the best ones that he could find were connected to Abraham. And when they came out, then he brought down the wrath upon that city. And the crazy wife of Lot, she turned around and she was stiff-necked, rebellious, and she ended right back up in the city herself. Goes to show that God is good to those that want to act like they're all right. The last one, of course, is to encourage repentance. When you intercede for people, in a sense, it's encouraging them to repent. It's putting something there wherein maybe they can see the goodness of God and say, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to repent. Now, the ministry of intercession, as I call it, I've heard somebody say there's no such thing as a ministry of intercession. Anytime I figure I'm interceding, I'm ministering. And so I call it the ministry of intercession. But I'm not concerned about that. I look at it as the importance of being an intercessor, because it is so important. Because we're able to turn things around. We're able to change God's heart, so to speak. We're able to change his mind. We're able to hold back the wrath through that which we are able to do by just asking God. And the intercession goes this way. We plead with God. We beg him. We ask him to not do something that maybe he normally would have done. And so all of that is wrapped up in. When Moses was asking God to hold back, you think he said, well, God, why don't you just hold back today? No, he was saying, please, God, give the people one more chance. Abraham was saying, no, God, but if you could just find one, if you could find 30, if you could find 20 or even 10 people, God, if you would just whatever it takes to do, would you mind just holding back? I'm begging you, God, because I don't want to see thousands of people dying. And therefore, they became the most important people of their day for their city and their country and for the people that they were connected to. The ministry of intercession, number one, is lacking. It ain't a lot of people that want to do it, because interceding takes work. We already know that we're standing in a position where we're with God and we're again in between the people. And sometimes maybe God has even gotten mad at some intercessors because they come to him the wrong kind of way. It's kind of like the priests in the Old Testament, the Levites. They went to God, and when they went in the wrong way, God killed them too because they had the wrong attitude. And so therefore, when I go to intercede for people, I have to go in with the idea and with the heart to say, God, I'm coming here petitioning for these people here. Another thing about an intercessor is that they have to be righteous. It's lacking, but we have to be righteous when we go in, because these guys that I mentioned here, all of them were righteous, even when the other people were wrong. It's needed for the children. Sometimes you might think, my child is going to hell in a handbasket, and God, I need to pray for them. I'm going to intercede for them. And that's what we have to do, because we never know, like Job, we never know what they're into. We never know what they're messing around with. We never know whose hand they got their hands locked into that's carrying them down the wrong road, and we need to intercede for them. Children need it real bad. But let me say this to the young folk. You'd be amazed how much intercession that you can do that can turn your parents around, that can turn your aunts and your uncles, your grandma and your grandpa around. So it just ain't for the grown-ups. It's for children, too, because God wants to change this nation, and it doesn't matter how or who he used to change it with. He just wants somebody that will stand in the gap for those that don't want to do right. It may be that you can intercede for a friend. You can intercede for a brother or a sister. You can intercede for the president. You can intercede for somebody that you've chosen in your heart and your mind to say, I'm just going to pray for this family. And I'm going to expect God to respond to me positively. But it's all up to God. In my closing, I want to say this. If you're not an intercessor, which we all should be. But if you're not an intercessor, at least you should pray for one. Meaning that God will send somebody. Because if ain't nobody interceding, certainly we're going to all die. If ain't nobody interceding, the wrath of God is going to come down on the place. So if you're not an intercessor, it's good to pray for one. I already mentioned that, and if you're going to be one, you better make sure you're going in there with some holy righteousness about you and not messing around with God thinking that he's going to take us any kind of way. Now, let me say how that works. With Abraham, with Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Aaron, those guys were, in a sense, like priests. And they were righteous in their ways, at least the best out of Israel. And when they went to God, God looked at them as being righteous individuals. I mentioned St. John chapter 17. And there was a man that was hanging on the cross. And we know that he was righteous. His name was Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God. In verse 23, what happened? They were piercing him. They had hung him on the cross. They were sticking him in the side. They were taking his clothes off and casting lots for it. And the one great thing that this man did, he was a great intercessor. He said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As mad as God got that day, as much anger and wrath perhaps that may have been in God, got so bad that it turned dark all over the earth. But it was because one man, Jesus, said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The wrath of God that I believe was in the heavens did not come upon the earth. Would he have been justified? Yes, he would have. But that's the thing. If I'm not an intercessor and I don't know how to intercede for myself, then I ought to be praying for somebody to intercede for me and for the people around. The last thing I want to say about an intercessor, we have to be concerned about souls and be compassionate toward them. Jesus was a compassionate individual. And even though he was hanging on the cross, he saw all the people that were around, even those that spit upon him, pulled his beard out, pulled his hair out, they were slapping him in the face. He was still compassionate to those people. And he didn't want them to die in their sins. That's why he said, God, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Now, here's the question that I've always had in my mind. Did God forgive them so that they did not go to hell? No, I believe that what God did at that point in time was just forgave them for what they did to Jesus. And you can be forgiven for one sin today, but then if you ain't changed your heart, changed your life, you still could go to hell. Because the thing is, we have to be forgiven for all of our sins and not just one. They were forgiven for one that day because Jesus asked for it to be forgiven. But what about all of the others? Because they still rejected the Christ. And that is the main one that we have to be so concerned about. And that's why it's important for an intercessor to intercede, because that is the person that can cause God to touch your heart and my heart and say, I don't want to be like that anymore. I choose to go right. And so you make sure that if you're not an intercessor, you pray for one, because it is important. And in my opinion, is one of the greatest gifts or greatest positions that one could be in. And that is to intercede for the people. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to all be intercessors. Help us, God, if not being an intercessor, that we will at least pray for one. And I thank you, God, that as important as it is that we learn not to take it for granted, we learn not to take you for granted, and that in our interceding for people, that God will, people will turn around and they will become whole, they will become righteous, and they truly will seek after you. And I'm trusting that that will happen not only in this place, God, but in places all around this country and even the world. In Jesus' name, I bless you and say amen, amen. If you would please stand as we close out. It is very important for us to be intercessors. Very important for us to seek God. Pray for those that don't know any better. Perhaps have evil or wicked hearts. Perhaps people that just don't want to get it right. Or I can think of so many people, even in my family, that just need, they need me interceding for them. In this church, they need me interceding for them. In this city, that's why we do pray for our leaders and pray for people that are in position and of authority. But if you would bow your head for one moment, and we're going to ask God to do something unique and significant. And I'm going to ask everybody to intercede, perhaps for someone that you know that ain't walking the life of Christ, isn't walking the life of being a Christian, because we want to pray for them. But at the same time, I also want to give the opportunity for those that maybe don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, and you're feeling in your heart that you want to turn around, you want to change something.